Welcome to the Hateful Hitman Podcast. Brought to you by Hitman Fantasy Productions. Premier football coverage from college to NFL to fantasy and everything in between. And now, in the Hitman's Hideout, here's your host, Chris Strasbaugh.
What a crazy world we're living in. What a crazy day and age. If you've been under a rock, let me catch you up real quick. We went from COVID-19, no toilet paper, people getting laid off from their jobs, small businesses closing because of the coronavirus, into this whole George Floyd mess, which has just got to world completely upside down. And I'm going to start by, we all have a voice, and we all have, we're all free to assemble and free to protest and all that. And look, I'm not anti-protest. If you've got something to say, the world is your forum. That's what podcasts are for anyway. But you're not going to see me out participating in a protest. You're not going to see me out participating in looting, rioting, acting the fool. You're just not going to catch the hitman out there doing that. Okay, there was a peaceful demonstration here in Dark County over the past weekend, and some of my, Second Amendment buddies tried to get a hold of me and get me to go out there and stand armed with them and all this, and I just wasn't going to do that. That's not my gig. It's not my style. And, I don't fault those for who do. But whenever you get a group of testosterone-driven men with fully loaded weaponry, to me it just looks like something bad could come out of that. Now, luckily, nothing did. Luckily they were just, peaceful assembling, and their mission was to help, police the activities of the actual protesters and stuff, in Greenville, Ohio. But, it's just stuff like that that gets out of control. And when you take it from protesting and then you kick it up a notch to looting and vandalism and destruction, you're just asking for trouble. So you're not going to see me out there doing that. I don't fault too many people that do, but you're just not going to catch me out there. So this the George Floyd situation is probably one of the most heinous things I've ever come across. I have a background in criminal justice. I have a degree on the wall. I spent years working as a corrections officer for juveniles. So I've seen the good and the bad and a lot in between, and I have never seen anything quite as ugly as I watched that poor man, basically die on the street that day. I've never seen anything like it, and I hope to never see anything like it again. It was absolutely uncalled for. At no point can I ever condone what that officer did, and I'm all about supporting the police, law enforcement, sheriffs, FBI, marshals. With a degree in the background, in criminal justice like I do, I support that. But there's nothing that I can look at that and say this was okay, because it wasn't okay. But, it's also not okay to go and burn buildings down and break into places and destroy places just to do it. I mean, this isn't what his wife even said. This isn't what he would want. And, I don't pretend to know the man or anything like that. I don't know the situation. I don't know any of it. But to see a human being, he knows he's on camera. He's being recorded. To see one human being put his knee in the back of another man's neck and take his life like that with zero remorse, and you're a law enforcement official, it's just disgusting. And it casts a negative shade on law enforcement, and you can't let one bad apple ruin the bushel. And it certainly has done that, because look at where we're at now. This world is completely upside down. We've got rioting going on. We've got, people losing their businesses. you know, as if the coronavirus wasn't enough, now we've got the George Floyd situation, which we're having trouble getting a handle on. And, you know, it's a crazy time. It's almost like the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, that one incident seems to have set America back 50, 60 years. And we're back to, you know, blacks versus whites. And it doesn't need to be that way. Okay, I've said many and many a times that, you know, if you take a knife or anything like that and you cut me open, okay, I bleed red. Okay, you can take the same individual across the street, cut that person open, they're going to bleed red. Doesn't matter what ethnicity they're from. We all bleed red. Okay, we all sit down to crap most of the time. Okay, it doesn't make anybody any better. And until we can just get past this, this is going to be a constant issue. And it's sad because we've come so far, you know, as Americans and as a world and as a, you know, as a human race, that this is still an issue. And I, for one, just don't, I don't like it. And, you know, I hate it for the young man's family. And, you know, this whole situation has escalated into something that's totally uncalled for. And, you know, it's terrible what happened. Felt like I needed to take 5 minutes to touch on that situation. You know, we all have a voice. We all are allowed to, you know, voice our opinions and things like that. So there was mine. You're not going to see me out in the streets. You're not going to see me out with a riot sign and picketing and all this. You're just not going to see that from me. It's not my gig. But, you know, we do all have an opinion, and we're all entitled to our opinions. And these people that protest, I don't oppose that either. But when it gets out of hand and things start getting destroyed and people lose the things they've been working their lives to build, is absolutely uncalled for. And this, it's just a bunch of people out there, you know, who are just looking for a reason to break stuff and destroy things and act a fool. And I'm not on board with that one bit. But moving on to other things, I got a good show for you tonight. We're going to start our walk across college football this evening. It's going to be a little bit different than it has been the past two seasons, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But first, we got some NFL and college news to talk about, so let's get in with Here's What We Know.
Here's What We Know.
The aftermath from the Mike Norvell and the Marvin Wilson thing seems to be, and, you know, much ado about nothing, in my opinion. A misstep in conveyance of what you're trying to say. You know, a simple one or two word difference, phrasing, and this whole thing could have been completely avoided, and it would have been, you know, no big deal. What you have was Mike Norvell reaching out to his team and saying, you know, if you need to talk to me about this George Floyd thing, or get with me on any issues you may have, you know, get with me. Then he goes on and is reported saying, you know, I've had back and forth conversation with my players on all this, when in all actuality he sent out a group text and there was no back and forth. Well, Marvin Wilson, All-American D lineman for the Florida State Seminoles, who came back for his senior year, because of Mike Norvell and the possibility of a better future and a better tomorrow for Florida State, had an issue with that. And he took to Twitter, and it blew up, and there was a big-time issue. And Mike Norvell misspoke, and he was quoted as misspeaking, and it wasn't the news's fault. It was Mike Norvell's fault for just misspeaking. And it looked as if, for a moment, that he was trying to convey something that he wasn't believing in. But they have since rectified the situation, had a team meeting, and all seems to be well, and it may actually end up, you know, galvanizing this team and, you know, really bringing him closer as a unit. Mike Norvell actually went on and said he was wrong. He apologized for, you know, misspeaking and misrepresenting the situation, and it seems to be, you know, all smoothed over. The media, in my opinion, made it out to be way more than it needed to be. I don't think it was as big a deal as they made it out. I think in-house, in that locker room, it was a big deal. But, you know, because for all the players, you know, that are buying into his system, trusting him to turn the page, you know, in Tallahassee and get that program back to where it has been and should be. You know, to them in-house, it was a big deal. That being said, you know, Jimbo Fisher had a long-standing rule that, you know, once a certain part of the season hit and started, there was no more social media. Now, should Marvin Wilson have went to social media about this? Probably not. But also, like we just said, you are free to have an opinion. You're free to voice your opinion. And he did just that. And as a leader on that team, you know, I think what he did was admirable. I think it actually took a lot of guts to actually take that stand, you know, because all of a sudden now the spotlight is on you, where it's been, you know, 3 years, you know, it's been on a spotlight, you know, in a different scenario. Well, now you're looking at it as on a whole different playing field. You know, this is a whole different, you know, a whole different limelight you're in. And, you know, for him to do that, I tip my cap to him, and, you know, he's standing up for what he thought was right. So, you know, you can't ever blame somebody for doing that. Luckily, it seems that it's kind of, you know, taken care of, and the situation's been handled, and we'll see, you know, how it goes. We've got a lot of people who are speaking out in the media, and I want to speak on this Drew Brees thing for just a minute as well. And, you know, at no point, I've read the quote, I've read it, I've seen it, I read it over, you know, a couple of times, and at no point do I feel Drew Brees' comments about the national anthem or anything had anything that was racist involved in it whatsoever. I was a little disappointed, actually, when he even, you know, retracted his statement and apologized for what he said. I don't feel you should apologize for standing up for your freedom, standing up for the national anthem, and standing up for your American flag. I don't feel that that was anything wrong with it. I also don't feel that he should have retracted it. One guy who listens to my show and is in a couple fantasy leagues thinks that maybe there was some safety issues, that maybe he thought about, you know, this could have a ramification on my family. You know, they may have to shoulder some of the aftermath from this. You know, can't say yes or can't say no, but it was definitely, you know, a point worth listening to. So, you know, I can never, you know, say how much the United States means to me. We live in the greatest country in the world, and, you know, we are blessed beyond belief. And, you know, for people to say, you know, I stand up for what we believe and stand up for our freedom and the American flag and the national anthem, you should never have to apologize for that, in my opinion. And I may take some flack for that, but, you know, to me, what he said, there was nothing wrong with it. One more issue that I'm not 100%, you know, clear on is what Dabo Swinney has done down in Clemson. There's been an issue down there with him wearing a T-shirt that he wasn't supposed to wear, and he's said some things or done some things that are a little bit questionable. I'm going to have to do a little bit more research on that before I can really even voice an opinion, but it's making waves, and it seems to be making more waves, and it's gaining momentum, I guess you would say, like a storm, you know, as opposed to where, like, FSU has kind of handled the situation, you know, and bet it back down, where the issue in Clemson seems to be escalating, and I'm going to dig into that a little bit more and kind of find out what is going on, you know, in Clemson, to see, you know, what's going on and how my thoughts vary on that one way or the other. Last bit of news I want to talk about, and, you know, I got to address the elephant in the room here, and I'm not surprised, I'm a little disappointed, but it came out yesterday per Sleeper and per Tom Palacero, I think, maybe, or Adam Schefter, one of the two. Dalvin Cook's holding out until he gets a better contract, or a reasonable contract is what the quotes say. And, you know, look, he's in a contract year. He's still playing on his rookie deal. He's got people like J.D. McKissic making more money than him. And, you know, I see his point. I really do. I totally get it. And Brian Wickham made a point, you know, on one of our Facebook groups, and hopefully I'll have Brian Wickham back on next week as we go to two shows a week, hopefully. But he made a point that running backs, rookie running backs that are high-end top two, three-round picks, you know, only get a two-year contract. And I saw another report on Twitter where a guy, you know, suggested three-year contracts to where you can reevaluate these guys and keep them from holding out. And, you know, I think I remember Minnesota having like $13 million to work with or something. So hopefully they get a deal done with Dalvin Cook and it doesn't linger on too long in the training camp, because we've already missed some stuff already. So, you know, hopefully, you know, we're hoping to let the NFL season and the college season both, you know, take off, you know, at a reasonable time, and we're going to have full seasons. I said this with Zeke, and I can't, you know, I can't not say it with Dalvin Cook. The longer you hold out, not only are you hurting your team, you're hurting yourself, because you run the risk of coming back too fast, hurting yourself, injury, you know, and Dalvin Cook hasn't had a full season yet, and he's holding out. So, to me, it doesn't make much sense, but I totally get, you know, him wanting, you know, that big payday, because running backs' shelf lives aren't, you know, aren't 10, 12 years. So, I get it. Just disappointed, because I do have several shares of Dalvin Cook, plus he's also one of my favorite Florida State Seminoles to ever play. So, you know, it's near and dear to me, but it's also the business of the NFL. I totally get that. So what's that mean? Well, it means if you have any shares of Alexander Mattison, congratulations. If you haven't had any shares of Alexander Mattison, they're probably already gone in leagues that have already drafted. And if he was available in free agency, he's no longer available now. So if Dalvin Cook holds out any length of season, Alexander Mattison is definitely, you know, a starter week in and week out for you and your fantasy teams. That'll do it for the news and notes, a little bit of everything going on in this world. So I'm going to jump into what we're going to talk about tonight. I'm going to start my walk across college football, and it's a little bit different than it has been the last couple of seasons. Last couple of seasons, I kind of focused on, you know, every team, their strengths, their weaknesses, you know, big playmakers, up-and-comers. I want to focus this year's college walk across, or walk across college, more towards college fantasy. We're gearing up to do our College to Canton college portion draft, and, you know, college fantasy is growing in popularity. I hear and see about it everywhere, and it's really going to take off. And if you have a passion for college football, this is just going to enhance it. It also enhances your knowledge to the NFL, because you're going to be more up to speed on the rookies and things of that nature. So, you know, college fantasy is growing. It's taken off, and, you know, I love it. And this will be my third season playing college fantasy. And, you know, me as a – I prefer college over the NFL. So it just makes it that much better for me. But we're going to start out west in the Pac-12. And I'm going to give you some names of some players that are college fantasy worthy when your college leagues are drafting. And as of now, Yahoo still has not opened up the college portion, but you can still draft – on Fantrax, you can draft your college fantasy leagues, and you can open up to about every conference except the Power Five. So, or outside of the Power Five, excuse me. So we'll start at USC, and this guy's got a lot of momentum. Keaton Slovis took over last year in USC, and when he got his chance, he grabbed the bull by the horns. And he reined in that job in such a fashion that it let JT Daniels transfer out. So this is Keaton Slovis' job, and there's no reason why he shouldn't have, you know, a very productive season for USC. He's got a very good receiver returning. I'll get to him in a minute. But he's also not only would he be good for your Devy, he'd also be good for you in college fantasy. One quarterback leagues, two quarterback leagues, whatever. If you get a chance to go watch some film and take a chance, I think you're going to be happy with what you see with him. And he should have some really good fantasy numbers for you this year. Staying at the quarterback position, You know, and let's get this straight real quick. There's other quarterbacks out there, you know, that we'll get to as we go conference to conference. But, you know, and a lot of these guys we talk about are going to be higher on your lists. But, you know, in the later rounds, if you need a quarterback, you know, that's trustworthy, you know, for a couple of weeks, injury, whatever, you know, there's some names out there for you. And I want to go to Arizona State and Jaden Daniels. Now, he does have a young wide receiving core. Okay, but Athlon Sports has him listed as first team preseason All Pac-12. And, you know, he's going to put up decent numbers because he's going to be the guy there, you know, all season long. 6'3", 175, so he's tall, he's a little lean, could use a few pounds, no big deal. Had a really good freshman year, 2,900 yards, 17 touchdowns, only threw two interceptions. So, I mean, that's really good as a freshman coming back in. This is his show now. So, you know, Jaden Daniels, look for him to put up good numbers for you and really be a solid play at quarterback, you know, depending on the matchup, of course, and if you have better options. But, I mean, he's definitely one to keep, you know, on the list. Out of the Pac-12, if you follow the Pac-12 or you like the Pac-12 and you want to grab a guy, Jaden Daniels would be a good, solid play, you know, in my opinion. Next guy on my list is a sleeper quarterback. And this could be the year that he really starts to put it together and put up some really good numbers. And that's Dorian Thompson-Robinson, junior quarterback out of UCLA. Now, he's not the biggest guy either, 6'1", 196. He could use some weight, you know, going into the next level, but he's gotten progressively better. His second season was a complete day and night switch. He went from 7 touchdowns his freshman year to 21 last year. So this guy could be a very good sleeper quarterback to get late in drafts and somebody that may be overlooked, you know, because of the bigger names, even in the conference. So you may have a chance to get this guy and just steal him away from somebody with people not even paying attention in your college draft. So definitely a guy. He's definitely my sleeper quarterback out of this conference, and really looking forward to see what he does this year, his third year, you know, at UCLA. Moving on to the running backs, this first guy I'm going to talk about had a lot of hype coming in last year, and I can't say that he doesn't have a lot of hype this year. It's just we have a new coaching system here at Washington State. Mike Leach is gone. And so Max Borgi, you know, he may take on a bigger role than he had, you know, even in his sophomore season with 817 yards. And he had another 86 catches for 597 yards receiving and 5 touchdowns. But this was in that air raid system with Mike Leach. So we've got new coaches in place for Washington State, but still a guy who is going to be a solid play week in and week out for you, no matter what. Definitely one of the premier players in this conference is Max Borgi. Not only, you know, in college, but 5'10", 197, he's built pretty good, you know, to go on to the next level. So wouldn't be bad to grab him in Devy leagues as well, but definitely a player to target in your college fantasy. The next guy, C.J. Verdell, University of Oregon. This guy's going to probably be one of the top backs taken in your college fantasy drafts. Coming off back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, 18 total touchdowns rushing. He only caught 14 passes last year, so if you play in a PPR league, which you probably do, you're not going to be really counting on him to catch a lot of passes. But, you know, if he puts up 1,200 yards again and 8 touchdowns, definitely going to be a solid play for you in your college leagues for sure. Like I said, going to be one of the top guys to go, you know, at the running back position this year. And with good reason, he's definitely a play every week, you know, obviously unless Oregon is on a bye week. So 5'9", 210, you know, he's a bigger kid. Like I said, may not catch a lot of passes, maybe even at the next level. That might be a question mark for him, but look for him to put up good college fantasy numbers for you this season for sure. Next guy on my list is going to be another big name running back taken probably in the first couple of rounds, I would think. Maybe not the first. He may fall into the second, depending on the way your league's set up with one quarterback, two quarterbacks. Hard to really say, but that's Jamar Jefferson, junior running back out of Oregon State. Now, he only played 9 games last year, so he had a little bit of decrease in numbers from his freshman year. But if you go back to his freshman year, 12 games, 1,300 yards, almost 1,400 yards, 12 touchdowns, and tacked on another 25 receptions. This guy is definitely in a stay healthy and provide serious fantasy value for you this year. I don't see any reason why you look. I try not to base too much on injury. You know, you can say, you know, I think everybody's going to get hurt. Sure, because there is that option. I try not to say, okay, well, this guy's just going to get hurt. He's just going to get hurt, so no, it's no sense in drafting him. You know, there's other players that I would take, but, I mean, I wouldn't be afraid if Jefferson's there second, third round, definitely, you know, grabbing this kid, you know, especially if he's there in the third round, you know, snatch him up, because he's going to be a weekly starter for you in your college fantasy. Okay, my sleeper running back for the Pac-12, and this is a guy that I'm really interested in targeting. And if he's there, you know, I'm not going to reach for him. But if he's there and I'm willing to take a shot on this guy, I'm definitely grabbing him. And that's junior running back Alex Fontenot out of the University of Colorado. Great sophomore campaign last year. 185 carries, 874 yards, 5 touchdowns. Tacked on another 27 receptions and another 122 yards. Didn't catch any touchdowns, but you know, Steven Montez is gone. Laviska Shenault's gone there in Colorado. So, you know, I think they may lean heavily on their junior running back, and he could put up very good numbers for them and also be a very good asset, you know, maybe as a wide receiver or a running back 2 or 3 or definitely a flex play, you know, almost week in and week out. And he played 11 games last year, so he did miss one game, but, you know, I'm never going to complain too much about that. So Alex Fontenot is definitely one guy I'm keeping my eye on, and I would love to grab him, you know, when we have our College to Canton draft. If he's available, you know, definitely going to grab him and take a chance on him. Okay, the next is my dynamic duo in the Pac-12, and that's Amon Ross St. Brown and Tyler Vaughns out of the University of USC. We've already talked about their quarterback, you know, and Keaton Slovis, you know, getting, it's his show now, and he's got two fantastic wide receivers to throw the ball to, solid running back to hand the ball off to, so you can expect big numbers and big and solid fantasy play out of both of these guys. USC is going to go as Keaton Slovis goes. So he has a big season. You know, these wide receivers are going to flourish in college fantasy. Now, if you try to, you know, pair them up, I wouldn't try to grab them all. But if you want to try to grab, you know, Keaton Slovis or Amon Ross St. Brown, then come back and get Keaton Slovis, you know, and kind of have the combo there, can't say I blame you. Just don't try to load up on USC players, because sometimes they can let you down. So, you know, but all of these, both of these guys, I think, can have fantastic college seasons this year. I mean, so let's break them down. Let's start with Tyler Vaughns. 6'2", 190, senior this year, coming off 74 catches, 912 yards, 6 touchdowns, tied his career high with touchdowns. Career highs in yardage, career highs in receptions last year, average 12.3. All those were records for him as a junior. And, you know, you got Slovis coming back, and you're going to have help on the other side with Amon Ross St. Brown. I'll get to him in a minute. So, you know, I really don't think you can go wrong, you know, with these wide receivers here for USC and really flourish in your college fantasy play. Moving on to Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think we was all kind of, his freshman year was kind of eh. He had a lot of hype, a lot of build up his freshman year. Definitely came back his sophomore year and put up bigger numbers, more receptions, over 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. You know, and it's a great 1-2 punch for Slovis to have there at USC. And, you know, I wouldn't try to grab all three of these guys, but if you want to pair up Slovis with one of these two wide receivers, you know, and play them together, I have no problem with that whatsoever. I'm okay. I like the combos if it's legitimate. Okay, if the and not just a threat or not just a yeah, well maybe, but you know, if you've got a couple of surefire hitters, and I think we've got this here at USC this year, and you know, they got a really good chance to have a really solid offense. So if you're going to pair up and you're going to stack or combo or however you want to word it, if you're going to pair up these players with their wide receivers, make sure that it's different than the NFL, okay? Because if you grab Drew Brees and Michael Thomas, you're going to have a pretty good connection. You've got to make sure you have, you know, the college equivalent to that, you know. So Keaton Slovis and Tyler Vaughn, Keaton Slovis, Amon-Ra St. Brown is on that level, you know. So I think you'll be fine, you know, if you try to, you know, combo these guys up. My wide receiver sleeper for the Pac-12 is Stanford junior wide receiver Michael Wilson. 6'2", 210, love the size, love the little bit heavier frame. Had a great sophomore year, 56 catches, 672 yards, 5 touchdowns. Now, he needs to have better output, you know, to be a weekend starter, a week-in and week-out starter for you, you know, in your college fantasy. But he'd be great as a flex play. He'd be great on a bye week and, you know, as a not a deep sleeper, but a, you know, a second team, third team, you know, wide receiver out of the conference. Seems to be durable. Played 10 games his freshman year, 12 his sophomore year. So he's been on the field. He's got some experience. So he would be my sleeper for the Pac-12 conference. And I wouldn't be afraid to grab him when I needed him as for a bye week. Pick him up. I don't know if he'll make the waiver wire, depending on how deep your wide receivers and stuff like that are. He will probably get drafted in most leagues, I would think, just because you're wanting to load up on talent that's going to pay off for you. Maybe not week one, not week two, but you look down the road and think, okay, well, you know, Stanford plays, you know, UCLA this week, and it's going to be a shootout, you know, whatever. And that's when you look to see, you know, that's when your matchups come into play and your schedules play a big part. But I'm really curious to see what Michael Wilson does this year for Stanford, building on that sophomore season, and he would be my wide receiver sleeper for the Pac-12. Okay, so that starts our walk across college football. I said it's going to be a little bit different, a little bit more compact, shorter and sweeter, focusing on some names that you can use in your college fantasy, and you know, that may even actually, you know, convert over to your Devy leagues to transfer into the NFL. So that's going to do the Pac-12. I don't know if I'll go to the Mountain West next week or if I'll bounce down to the Big 12 or where we're going to go. I haven't done that yet. It's going to be a surprise, and we'll talk about it then. One last thing I want to talk about before I get out of here is our very first jersey giveaway through Hitman Fantasy Productions. It is an extra large Baker Mayfield. I posted it on Twitter. Go find me on Twitter at Hateful Hitman. Scroll down, and you'll see this jersey. And I'm going to give it away here. I'm going to give it away probably in the next few weeks if I can get people interested. So here's what you're going to have to do. I'm going to give you a trivia question. You're going to have to do some research. I don't care how you come up with the answer. You can watch TV. You can Google it. There's really nothing I can say that you can't do because I don't know where you're at. So if you want in the running for this Baker Mayfield jersey, you're going to go to Twitter on Hateful, at Hateful Hitman. Follow me. Instant message me there with the answer to this question. With the anniversary of the Back to the Future movies and keeping that theme going, because they're playing all the movies right now because it's the big, what would it be, the big 30-year anniversary or whatever for Back to the Future. Your trivia question is this. In Back to the Future 2, when Marty goes into the Cafe 80s and he has a confrontation with Griff, Griff is holding a baseball bat behind his back. And as the baseball bat extends, there's a fictitious professional baseball player name on that bat. You know how we used to have bats that said Babe Ruth or whatever? I want the name on that bat. You send me that name, you're automatically entered into this jersey. I'm going to pay the shipping. I'm going to pay the handling. I'm just going to mail it to you. So if you want in on this draw, I'm going to post it on Twitter. I'm going to post it on my Facebook page. What fictitious Major League Baseball player's signature is on the bat that Griff is holding in the Cafe 80s in Back to the Future Part 2? No clues, because this is easy. You can Google it and get the answer. If you want in on that drawing for the free Baker Mayfield jersey, instant message me. If you have my phone number, you can text it to me, tweet it. Do not put the answer on Twitter. Do not put the answer on Twitter. You must DM me so that I can see it privately, and you will be entered to win the extra-large Baker Mayfield home jersey. Free to you for listening to the Hateful Hitman podcast, and I do appreciate all the Twitter following I have grown so much over the last year. I do appreciate it. That's the reason why we're giving these jerseys away, as a sign of appreciation and to show you guys that I do appreciate you listening, checking me out, follow me on Twitter. Means a lot. With that, I want to get out of here. My name is Chris Strasbourg. You can find me on Twitter at Hateful Hitman. You can find the show on Podbean, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Pod, Apple Pod, Podcast Addict. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find me there. Check you out next time. Watch that movie. Send me the answer. You get registered for that Baker Mayfield jersey. See you next time on The Hitman Show.